সবে জন্মে জন্মে মাতা পিতা পায় কৃষ্ণ গুরু নাহি মেলে ভজ হই আয়। দিস ইজ স্টেটমেন্ট ফ্রম শ্রী চৈতন্য মঙ্গল অবলোচন দাস ঠাকুর, which Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to quote. The meaning is that in every birth we get a father and mother. We've had many births. Now I'm looking at you, but we don't know where we were in our previous birth. We may have been a cat, a dog, a camel, a chimpanzee. In every birth we get a father and mother, but only in human life do we have the opportunity for finding out Krishna. To find out Krishna, guru is required. So prati janme janme shabe mata pita pai, in every life we get mother and father, but in human life we have the, if we get a guru, we're very fortunate. We should worship from our very heart, means fully. Guru mokha padma vakya chitete koriya aikya arna koriya mane asha. It's a great demand that whatever we hear from the Guru, which Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. When we say Guru Mukha Padma, that means it's not just anyone talking. Padma of course means lotus, but not everyone is described as lotus mouthed. Chitete Korea Aikya. We make that one with our heart and we don't desire anything else. So it's a great demand, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja, Sarvadhaman Parityaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja. Just throw out everything else and surrender to me only. So it's a great demand. To actually do that requires either foolishness or great intelligence. Most people who accept a guru do so out of foolishness. They don't know what it means to be a disciple, they don't know what it means to be a guru, but they do so out of some sentiment or exactly why. I don't know why people would accept. There's so many bogus gurus wandering all over the place. Why people go to them doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness. So people, mostly those who accept a guru, they accept a guru that's described in Bhagavatam, that it's like trying to cross over the ocean by getting into a boat made of stone. Can you imagine a boat made of stone? Will it take you across the ocean? No, it'll take you to the bottom. You'll go down quicker. Anyway, we're drowning in the ocean of material existence. But if we think I'll get in a stone boat, then we'll go down quicker. But if we accept the actual guru, then that's fortunate, and that's also a sign of great intelligence. And guru gives intelligence. Basically, we're in this material world. Why? Ajnana timirandasya. We're all foolish in ignorance. But guru, by giving knowledge, gives us the knowledge by which we actually become intelligent and come out of this material existence. In Gita we hear, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatva darshanah. So these three points, these are the three main points in disciple approaching guru: submission, service, and hearing. They're all interconnected. Hearing comes first, but even to hear, there has to be at least some kind of mental submission. We can't begin to hear if we think that we have nothing to learn. So someone who comes in a challenging mood, they cannot hear. In the beginning, ādo śraddha. In the beginning, there should be some basic faith. Not very strong faith, but the idea that something, all right, let me see what's here. Let me try and find out. And then by hearing from a bona fide guru, we become convinced that I have to place my faith here. Intelligence is required and faith is required also. Because we can't understand everything with our intelligence. So using the intelligence, which is also a gift from Krishna, we have to place our faith that yes, this person is fit to guide me. We find Srila Prabhupada, he described, he had seen many sadhus in his life. From the beginning of his life, his father would, even before his birth, no doubt, his father would bring so many sadhus to his home. But by seeing them, Srila Prabhupada, at that time Abhay, his name, he became dissatisfied with sadhus. What are all these sadhus, all these useless people? Just a bunch of parasites. He definitely wasn't impressed by them. So when his friend wanted to bring him to see one sadhu, Bhaktisthan Saraswati, he was reluctant to go. I've seen so many sadhus. But when he heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then he knew this is a proper sadhu. So by seeing so many sadhus, his overall impression, unimpressed. But when he heard for the first time from a genuine sadhu, then immediately he understood. This is actual connection with reality. Reality is Krishna. This person manifests Krishna in words. So actually, even in the beginning, when Srila Prabhupada, he heard Bhaktisiddhanta, he wasn't very submissive. He wasn't very open to hear. But he found that what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said was so impressive, it struck a chord with reality, that he had to accept it. So he became submissive by hearing, and having heard from such a person, then the natural inclination will be to serve. Hearing is central. There is a general idea that, well, we just get mercy from the Guru. But how do we get that mercy? Primarily by hearing. It's not just some Guru looks at you, touches you on the head. He may do, that's very nice. Shouldn't touch on the head if the female disciple is there. But the main point is hearing. And hearing means serving, because hearing, what will the Guru speak? Serve Krishna. So then we have to act, we have to serve Krishna. It's not only hearing. Hearing has to be translated into action also. Then when we go and act in the world, in Krishna's service, we'll find there are so many dilemmas we may come across, or we find we're not fully fit to serve. And then again we come back and we hear, and we gradually hearing. It's a gradual process. Srinvatang swakata Krishna punya shravana kirtan hridyantastho hi bhadrani vidhunoti suhitsata. But gradually going on and on hearing, we become purified. So there is the ceremony is going on today of worship. That is required. But that becomes not very meaningful if it's not accompanied by hearing properly and following properly. Those who hear properly and follow properly, they'll be very eager to perform this ceremony. Others may be eager to perform it also, but not out of a very solid understanding. I spent several years in Bangladesh in my youth, where the culture is such, and particularly at that time means the Hindus living in the villages, they're very strong Vaishnav influences, their Gauriya Vaishnav influence. But they were depressed inasmuch as they had not seen any sadhus. Hinduism was on the decline there in Bangladesh. So they're very happy to see us, and it's very much in their culture to welcome with foot washing and flowers and ulu dhani. If you're from Bengal or Orissa, you know what that is. If you're not, you probably don't. Women making some sound, blowing conches, kirtan. So they're very happy to do that. So that is Vaishnav culture, that should be done. But real substance in worship of the Guru is throughout the year, throughout life, life after life, chokudano diloje, janme janme prabhu se. It's a very grave commitment. Vaishnav dharma is simultaneously very joyful and very grave. Usually these two things, we don't think they go together. But in Krishna consciousness, it's always very blissful and always very serious at the same time. So I never had much personal association with Rompad Maharaj. He always struck me as being a very grave person. His general outlook is very grave. So if you can be very grave and serious in Krishna consciousness, that will be your great quality. And you can also dance like a madman in kirtan. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you for inviting me to speak, and I think I should go and catch the end of the Abhishek now. They're just doing the Tulsi offering, it sounds like. Hare Krishna.